The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
We welcome you once again to the program Afternoons with Mike here on The Shepherd. I have on the line the president of the Central Florida Christian Chamber, Crystal Parker. Welcome back to my show, Crystal.
Thank you so much, and I'm so happy to be here today.
Well, we're glad to have you. It's always great to have you on the show. You are in contact with so many people. There's always something going on at the chamber that it bears so much significance, not only with the members of the chamber, but I believe that what you do and who you're talking to and the corporate impact of this chamber is, it's really important. It's a real bellwether in some ways to Central Florida business. We can kind of look at that and see what's happening and get trends. And I know you're in touch with so many people from a diverse palette of backgrounds and, oh my goodness. There are some of the meetings that you've had recently I'd love to hear a report from you on later today, including our mutual friend now, Lee Cockrell. That was an amazing interview that I was able to have with Lee. So I really enjoyed that. So first of all, tell us how you're doing and the changes that are going on with the chamber in this now Easter week.
Great. Well, yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah, there's always something happening in the chamber. I was feeling like this is a vacation week for me because we only have one meeting this week. And we've got an exciting Fellowship Friday coming up. On Friday, we're going to do some listening prayer in preparation for the Easter season. And that's going to be led by Don Whitestone. And we're hosting that at Marinelli Auto Service. So we're really excited to see how God's going to speak into the lives of our business leaders that are there present for our Fellowship Friday this week.
That's wonderful. Now, explain what Fellowship Friday is and how the members all take part in this big event.
You bet. So Fellowship Friday is a staple of the Christian Chamber. And as a member, it's a membership privilege or a part of the membership to be able to host a Fellowship Friday. And that's basically the business leader opening their doors for their business to have potential leads walk right through their door. And we do this every week all throughout Central Florida. And we rotate the location so that we get exposure for all of our businesses. We spend a week marketing to get people to come. We allow guests to try it before they buy it. And it's just an incredible event. And I always say, you never know what's going to happen at Fellowship Friday because it is truly spirit-led. We've done everything from having speakers come in on a Friday to what we're doing this Friday, which is a listening prayer. I always like to take some sort of a business concept and align it with a kingdom principle. Mm-hmm. And then we take that deeper. The idea is, in all of our meetings, is to have a little bit of personal and professional development. Dive in a little deeper into the kingdom aspect of being a marketplace ministry. And then while doing so, building relationships with other Christian business leaders. And so it's kind of a trifecta, if you will. And as a result, people walk out of there with exchanging business cards, ideas, strengthening their resolve as they're walking out into the marketplace, and just having that community around them. And so that's really the concept behind the Fellowship Friday. And like I said, it is a staple. We try to do it about 48 out of 52 weeks every single year.
Wow.
Because it is absolutely important to stay connected in the business community. And then one more thing that we added to our Fellowship Fridays once a month, we do what we call an industry update. When you have so many different businesses represented in the chamber, why not take advantage of the industry knowledge, the community aspect of that, and learning what's happening in different industries? So we do what we call an industry update, where each person that's represented, they get to tell a little bit about themselves and their business. And then what are the trends that they're seeing in their respective industry? And I tell you, that's a really powerful Fellowship Friday that we do, because people are walking out of there at not only thinking as far as how do I grow my business, how do I offer something that can help? How do I pivot? How do I transition and adapt in this changing market? And then again, just building those connections and relationships and teaching people how they can actually do business together to do what we call, Mike, which is create kingdom commerce.
Now, you're coming up on a year this year of being the president. And what a year you took for, I mean, you chose for a transition. Maybe you didn't choose it. It was chosen for you. But my goodness, the things that have happened, you know, with all businesses. And that's the thing that, you know, part of the unique time of this era that we are all living in right now has been the kind of like the global impact that this coronavirus brought. And its impact on Central Florida was felt very strongly in a number of sectors. But I would imagine that every business, or most every business that would be in the chamber, had some sort of impact from it, if not a serious one. How would you look now as you are nearing that 1 year mark? How would you look back over this and kind of put your finger to the pulse and say, here's where we are?
So you're right. I absolutely did not know or choose the time, but God chose it for me. And I'm so thankful that he did, because the having leadership through this transition really opened the door for acceptance of change. And what I mean by that is culturally, there's a great opportunity within the Christian Chamber to bring together the Christian business community and reinforce the reason behind why we do what we do, Mike. And, you know, isolation is something that we are not designed to do as people. And what was happening, you know, in COVID, where people were starting to feel very isolated. And even though they were connecting through Zoom, there was still a level and a feeling of isolation. And so we were able to evolve. And I think there was an acceptance of that evolution of how we serve people and really get a finger on the pulse of what people were in need of, what the business community needed in terms of support and connectivity and unification of a Christian business leader during that time. And as a result, Mike, we grew where some people and companies maybe stayed, you know, stale or declined. We actually grew because I think there was a desire and a need, and we were able to evolve quickly enough to meet the needs of what the business community needed as it relates to the market that we serve. So it's been a great, I mean, I tell you, when I started, I had no experience in, you know, working within a chamber. Of course, I have a pretty rich background of business experience, but within the chamber, absolutely zero. And I like to say that I'm working on my PhD in chambering the kingdom way. And it's just been great because it really has given people a lot of acceptance to change because of the conditions that we were in. Whereas if I would have came in and taken over in the middle of business as usual, then I think that it would have been a little bit more difficult to get that acceptance of change and the shifting of the culture. So it's been a blessing for me.
You know, when you look at the chamber and people would say, why is there a chamber? Do we need a chamber? What benefit does the chamber bring? Those are questions that I would only have imagined being amplified during the time of a lockdown where so many businesses were just kind of like keeping their nose up above water, so to speak, you know, trying to make it happen. And yet you grew during this time. So that speaks somewhat and maybe a whole lot to the inherent benefit that one would have by being a part of this community of businesses that identify by being part of the Christian Chamber. So what, you know, when you say you've grown, is there any one aspect, or would it be that whole thing of we're in this together, let's all band together, let's work together, let's pray together, the sense of community that you mentioned? Would it be that, or would it just be the another thing that is not as immediately apparent as that?
I think what you said is great and deserves a highlight. There is an aspect of what we do that absolutely is based and built on those things that you talked about, specifically prayer and unity. And then there's another piece of it that is not quite as obvious. And I once had someone tell me before, when I was looking at potential business, and he was very versed in sales and business. And he said to me, he said, if you have to create a need for something, you're going to have a hard time selling it in the market. And when I thought about the Christian Chamber specifically, there, I didn't have to create that need. And so here's what I mean by this. I actually joined the Christian Chamber as a member because
right.
I was looking to grow my business. I had a really nice, rich, warm market in the Midwest, which is kind of where I came up in business in oil and gas. And so a lot of my warm market for my consulting company was out in the Midwest. I needed to build relationships in Central Florida. And so I needed to be able to meet some people. Now, from a marketing perspective, because my background's, I have a master's in marketing, I knew that for me to put together, you know, flyers and integrated branding strategy and promotion, there's flyers, there's billboards, there's, you know, there's just all these different facets to the marketing concept that would have to be done in order to be able to get exposure for my business. And that can be very costly. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, ineffective.
Yeah.
And so I knew I couldn't compete in that realm of marketing. And I needed to get into a place where I could build relationships and do relationship marketing. And so ultimately, I joined as a member because I saw the value immediately and inherently a year before I became the president. And so there's that piece of it. How do I get exposure for my business? And that's one of the things that we offer people is the ability to get in and get exposure along with unification, prayer, and just that whole concept of building a marketplace ministry and strengthening Christian leaders in the market. There's exposure. And then there's a third piece of this that wasn't something that I intended initially, but I saw the need for. And that was the professional development aspect of what we offer in the Christian Chamber. We bring in some of the best thought leaders in the industry that are Christian and allow them an opportunity to speak into and grow Christian business leaders in the community. Now, why is that important? For a number of reasons. Number one, if we're going to have kingdom commerce, which basically means that we're going to do business together, right? Well, Christian businesses doing business together and really looking to strengthen our business relationships in the community, which also increases influence mm-hmm. as Christians in business, in the community. But if we're going to do that, we need to have the best businesses that are in the market. And in order for the business to continue to grow, the leaders have to grow. And so we have added in a piece of this, a layer into this model, which is professional development and growth, not only for the top leader of an organization, but for their team as well. We now serve Christian business women. We now serve the young professionals that are Christian business leaders or Christian business employees within these companies. And so we're looking to serve, grow, and develop entire organizations to be a part of this, which every time they show up for a meeting, they get exposure for the business, they get prayer, they get unification, they get leads, and they have an opportunity to, again, strengthen and create kingdom commerce in Central Florida and beyond.
Now, there's something that I would imagine that happens when you have a group of people like that, when even if it is over Zoom, because you're saying they get leads, there is a, and you correct me if I'm wrong here, but there would seem to be a benefit. It might not be as immediately, you just wouldn't necessarily think of it as being as powerful as it is. But when you talk about this thing about thought leaders and like different viewpoints, when you get exposed to a bunch of people who are really movers, they're shakers, they're doing great things both for God and also for their business, and you're in that same room, so to speak, even if it is a virtual room, you're in that room, isn't there a benefit that regardless of what line of business they're in, that they get a kind of a sense of drawing from these other people, their ideas, their viewpoints, their experience, and it really does make an impact on them. Isn't that right?
Oh, it's so right. And it's biblical. It says it, you know, iron sharpens iron. And we know and we see that. You know, I've heard someone say before, you're the average of your five closest friends. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. You know, the thing is when you, and then of course we've heard this one before too, if you're the smartest one in the room, get a new room. because here's the thing, you need people that are constantly challenging you and growing you, and you don't, otherwise leaders get stale. They do tend to think that. I remember when I became an executive, and I was a young executive, I was 34 years old when I became an executive, and it was so interesting, Mike, because all of a sudden when my title changed, I got funnier, I got smarter. And that's not true. I really didn't. But people laughed at my jokes that they didn't laugh at before. They agreed with the things that I said that maybe they wouldn't have otherwise agreed with before. And the reason I'm saying that is because what can happen when a leader gets maybe at the top of their game, or that they, you know, have a lot of influence in their role, is that people don't necessarily challenge them to get better. They don't encourage them. They don't influence them in the way that they could. And so that is absolutely the value of coming into a place where there is different vocations that are represented, but there's other leaders that are as good as or better. And the neat thing is it's twofold on this journey. Number one, you may be at a different level in your business than somebody else is. So there's a lot of lessons to be learned just in having those relationships. But it also works in sense of your walk with God. I remember I was what I call now a Sunday Christian. I'd go to church on Sunday, and then I'd go into the marketplace and feel like I was a Christian business leader. But if I look at what I understand now as marketplace ministry to what I knew then, I would understand that I as soon as I walked out of the church, my Christian values stayed in the church. Mm. I was very compartmentalized. And so people are in different walks with their relationship with God, and understanding how to be a Christian business leader, what that means in terms of really putting in values and ingrating those into the organization and leading with a Christ mindset. I heard one of our members say once, Michelle Ogden with Ogden Wealth, she says, my boss, my CEO of my company is God. Now she's the owner of the business. No, she says, no, I work for God. And, you know, when you're around people that understand that concept, that live that concept, they don't talk the talk, but they walk the talk, it cannot help but to grow the leaders in terms of their ability to be marketplace ministry leaders, but as well as having great business acumen, ideas, and insights that you wouldn't normally have if you're the only one that's really at looking at your business from just your perspective.
Boy, that is such an encouraging viewpoint. And I'd love for you to kind of elaborate before we take a break here, elaborate on one part of that. You know, this thing about walking the talk and instead of just talking the walk, which I think most of us do. And I think you're right that a lot of people are not aware to the degree that they compartmentalize their lives and how that they can walk out of a Sunday morning service or whether it's a virtual or person to person, and then it's business as usual on Monday morning when we are called to be the church Monday through Sunday, every day of the week. That's what the Bible would tell us to do. But I think it's so easy. Here's my question. How do you help people see, first of all, how is that happening so effectively as it is in the chamber with these people? How is it happening that they're catching on to the fact that they don't have to compartmentalize, that in fact, it's better not to do that. It's better to take the kingdom approach, as you say. How do you communicate that?
Well, that's one of the things that we really look at in our Fellowship Friday. When we really get down to the nuts and bolts of what the Fellowship Friday is and how it applies, is we really start to talk about these things and break them down. So, you know, anything from business ethics, and then what does it say? We do kind of the litmus test of what does it say in the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
How, you know, we have a book that has examples of the greatest leader that ever, and greatest businessman that ever walked on this planet. And we have an account of his life and the lessons that he gave us to follow. And so we'll take anything from business. How do you handle conflict in the workplace? And then we say, what does it say in the Bible about that? And how can we do it better? And so you take little pieces, it's all business related, but it's applicable, and you see it in the Bible. And we reinforce those business concepts with a biblical aspect. And actually, that's why I'm writing the book that I'm writing that'll be out in August. And it's taking the concept of parables that you would see in the Bible and applying them in business and how we can have better businesses and build better business systems.
Oh, that makes such great sense. And I think that's the missing link for so many businesses. Long before COVID, and I think you would agree with this as well, long before COVID, many people's businesses did not thrive because of the fact that they were isolated, that they were kind of like stuck in that room where that's so funny that you said it. If you're the smartest person in the room, you need to get a new room. That sounds like a Weltonism right there. From we had Welton James on the program recently, and he has this book of little proverbial sayings. But that's one right there that is really helpful and I think a valuable way of looking at things, that we need to have that outside influence. Influence of people's thoughts and people's ideas. They just kind of rub off on us. They blast us out of our little comfort zone and maybe out of that little room that we are stuck in with all our own thoughts, and they just help us understand a new way. Crystal Parker is my guest. I'm going to take a quick break right here, friends, and we'll be back with Crystal in a moment. Don't go away. We're going to be talking about some of the folks that she's had in recently. And find out what we can learn from some of these great leaders and their mindsets, as well as we have Crystal Parker from the Central Florida Christian Chamber on Afternoons with Mike. This is The Shepherd. I'm on the line here today with Crystal Parker. She is the president of the Central Florida Christian Chamber. And this chamber, as we have been talking about in the last segment, if you just tuned and Crystal is nearing her one-year anniversary. I think what will be June? Is that when you will mark that anniversary?
I started July 1st. That's correct.
Right. July 1st will be the day. And Crystal has chosen, not really. We know that it happened just that way. But, you know, a year ago when we were at that halfway mark through 2020, a lot of people were thinking that COVID would be over, the impact would be over, and we found out in the last half of the year that it was going to hang around for a while longer than we thought. And during that time, I am sure early on you were thinking like, what in the world have I got myself into here? This is not exactly a bull market. Well, it kind of was. It really is just amazing when you have both things happening at one time. You had so much devastation happening in sectors of the business world. I think of how Central Florida's parks and all of the entertainment industry that Central Florida is known for, they were ravaged initially by COVID, shutting the parks down for weeks, and then ultimately having to say goodbye, furloughing initially, then laying off so many people. And yet with that, with all of that reality and other businesses really shuttering their doors, restaurants that closed, they just could not withstand the negative impact of that lockdown. Yet with that, you guys grew and you reinvented even the way you met. And to me, I just think that's marvelous. And I think it's encouraging, Crystal, for people to hear. We all need good news right now. And that good news is that you guys have survived and you've thrived. So both of those things, that says to me, they're in the hands of a good leader, and that's what you're doing. So congratulations to you.
Thank you.
We talked about Fridays being the kind of like your really important day that you have a lot of interesting people. And, you know, you also had the like what used to be the main monthly meeting, and you still do some of those as well. And you've even adapted some of those. So tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, we do. We call that our relationship building event. And that was something that always happened in the Christian Chamber. And we took that and just continued on with that as well. We've moved it around from place to place, and we've actually been able to utilize technology to get the word out and really help and capitalize on some of these great speakers getting the information into people's homes and offices that couldn't or wouldn't or weren't comfortable getting out into a meeting space. So we've been very flexible and adaptive to being able to serve people wherever they wanted to consume the message of the Christian Chamber, meaning we'd have in-person events as well as events online, and what we call those hybrid events. And that's actually been great because we've been able to reach new people by getting the word out through virtual audiences. And we've made some great connections outside of Central Florida and beyond. Just recently, I've been in some conversations with the Las Vegas Christian Chamber of Commerce and some other Christian chambers around that, you know, we're just working to leverage the things that we're doing to help each other be successful. And ultimately, that's what this is about. And, you know, when I first started in the chamber, it was really easy to kind of fall into what I didn't have, you know, kind of what you said, where we start in the middle of COVID and you're going, what did I get myself into?
Yeah.
And I remember thinking to myself, not only what did I get myself into, but kind of having a little bit of a grumpy attitude, if you will, towards God about, you know, I came from a Fortune 199 company. I had legal department, communications department, marketing and sales and business development. Like I had all these departments. I had a huge budget. And I walk into this role and I'm like, not only do I have COVID, I don't have this, I don't have that, I don't have this. And it was really interesting how God worked in my heart. About 10 years ago, I went to a church service, and that church service was with Pastor Craig Rochelle from Life Church TV. And he was talking about, he was doing a series, and he was talking about the woman who had lost her husband. And her sons were getting ready to get, you know, sold into the slavery to pay for the debts that they had. And she, in the end, when she was asked, what do you have? She says, I just have a little bit of oil. Okay. And so the message from this, which was 10 years ago, was the first time I heard it, was forget about what you want, focus on what you have, and let God provide you with what you need. Hmm. Well, so the very next week, I went to visit family. I was in New Mexico. I went to a random church I'd never been to. And if you would believe it, because you're a follower of Jesus Christ, so you understand how he gets your attention. The pastor that was there preached on that same exact verse.
Isn't that something?
So I went up to him. I was so moved by it because number one, I had never heard it at the time. And number two, it was 2 weeks in a row, two completely different states. And I thought, I'm just going to go talk. So I went and spoke to the pastor and I said to him, I said, I just want you to know the week before I just heard this verse preached and this message. And he said, you know, it's interesting. He said, I wasn't going to preach on this, but the Lord changed my sermon message right before the meeting. So I knew that God wanted me to know this, and I stored it in my heart. And I didn't know or how or see it, expect it to come into fruition until here I am in the middle of COVID, starting in this new role and really having a heart, desire, and passion to help Christian business leaders be successful. I believe in this mission so much, not only for Central Florida, but all over the nation. Now more than ever, Christian businesses have to come together and unite to be a larger influence and to make a bigger impact for the kingdom. And so because I believe in that so much, and I really love the Lord, but I also have a great passion for business, I'm sitting here in front of my desk, and I remember thinking to myself, but I don't have this, and I don't have that, and I'm used to this, and I don't know this. And all of a sudden, I remember Forget about what you want. Focus on what you have and let God provide you with what you need. Then it all of a sudden changed my absolute mentality and focus. Oh, you're right. We did have all these closures. Oh, you're right. Events stopped. But guess what that provided? Some of the most incredible thought leaders were just sitting at home and nowhere to go. No speaking engagements, no tours to go on. Well, we were able to leverage that and get some of the best speakers. I mean, people come to me all the time and say, how did you get that speaker? You've had several of them on your show. One of them just was Lee Cockerell. And they say, how did you get that speaker? And I always say, you know, I don't take the credit for it. I really give the glory to God for it. But that's one of the concepts of what, if I were focused on what we didn't have or couldn't do and weren't going to be able to provide, then I would have missed some of these great blessings and great opportunities that have come our way as we've evolved into the Central Florida Christian Chamber and are really looking to move forward as a national organization, as the U.S. Christian Chamber, helping Christian chambers all over the nation strengthen and build and unite the Christian business community across the nation.
You know, we hear this phrase all the time on the news. If you watch the news, and I have to commit, just say I don't that much anymore, but it's still a phrase that's there, that we are a divided country right now. And that's true. I mean, politically, that is certainly true. And we've seen it in the big election of 2020. But it sounds like what God is doing is bringing together and bringing unity among these that are part of this organization, where you are growing and you are benefiting. And I think of the verse that the prophet Jeremiah gave us all, which we all know and love, and probably one of the more quoted verses, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you. And the plans that God has, that's what you're talking about. It's so hard at times, I think, for me, I guess one of my weaknesses in my life has been that tendency that when things start getting troubled or you start getting a little worried or you start seeing some things, that the tendency is to kind of pull inwardly and think that what I need to do now is I need to buckle down and work harder. I mean, that's just one of the things that I find that I gravitate toward. And I'm sure I'm not the only one that does that. As opposed to doing this little saying that you said, forget about what you want and start looking to the Lord. And he's ultimately going to give us what we need. That's a big difference.
So big. We actually had one of our speakers, our past speakers that we had for a Christian Business Women's event, was Cindy Schiffrell, from the owner of Orlando Wedding and Party Rentals. And she's also a Christian Chamber member. And she spoke about surrendering your life and business to God. And she used a great example. And this kind of applies to what you were talking about as far as surrounding yourself with thought leaders and individuals. You can't help but to grow. And I get to be on the front seat of every one of these. And so I'm so excited about what it's doing and how it's shaping my life. But she used the whole thing about surrendering control to God as kind of like when you think about a diet plan. And she said, just because you decide that you're going to eat healthy doesn't mean that the temptation for, let's say, a hamburger or a piece of pizza or whatever doesn't come in. And that the conscious decision, with every single meal that you choose, you have to consciously make a decision, I'm going to eat healthy. Well, that's how it also is with surrendering your life and business to God, is you have to consciously make that. It just because you said, okay, I'm a follower of Christ, it's just going to happen. It's effort. It's work. I mean, I've heard it said before, you know, faith is a verb. It's an action. It's not something that you can passively just have in your life. And so we took that concept that Cindy brought to that Christian Business Women, and we applied it into a Fellowship Friday. And we talked about, let's look at how do we surrender our businesses? What are some tips that you can share around this room about surrendering your business and life to God? But at what point? Because you said it. I heard you say it. You said sometimes you go internally, you just work your guts out. You know, you just work. And so where's the balance there? Because entrepreneurs and business leaders, we struggle with this. Where's surrender and where is it up to me to work and work and work and make it happen? And we took that to the Bible and we started to look at what are some examples in the Bible of where people have found balance, where they tried to do it themselves, but then they surrendered. And I mean, it was so rich. This is the kind of thing that you'll find at a Fellowship Friday, but it's very rich. And the one that kind of stuck out the most was Mary and Martha.
Mm-hmm.
And so for those that maybe aren't really familiar with the story, you've got, you know, Jesus is coming and you've got Mary and Martha, and they both took the approach of Jesus's visit and his time with him differently. One was working and making everything so perfect, and one was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And the worker was like, was that Mary? Mary was the one that was
worshiping the Lord, right?
Okay, Mary was sitting at his feet and Martha was the worker. That's right. And so Martha's working, working, working. She's like, Jesus, you know, make her help me. And Jesus is like, look, she's doing exactly what she should be doing.
Yeah.
And so that is how we learn about where and when to balance. Work, 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 but surrender. And sometimes we need to just sit at the feet of the Lord and focus on him, because I've heard it like this. I'm a visual person, Mike, so I see things in pictures. And when I heard this, it made so much sense. But you take like a thousand piece jigsaw puzzle, right? That's kind of like your life. Now imagine getting all those pieces of that jigsaw puzzle and having no picture to be able to put them together.
Yeah.
And you're looking at that piece going like, where does it go? Where does it go? And so when I hear that verse in, that you said, for I know the plans I have for you, so says the Lord, you look at that piece and you have to go, God, you see the master. You see the picture. You see where this piece is to go. I have but a piece. You have the whole picture and plan,
right,
for my life.
Yep.
That's how it works for our businesses. That's how it works in our lives. And this is applicable across the board for whatever place you might find yourself in today for your audience, whether it be, you know, at a place where you feel like you understand and you know exactly where you're supposed to go and you just trudge on, or you maybe don't know. I don't know what foot or what step or where I'm supposed to go. And Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but they will have the light of life right here. So focusing on him is first. And one more thing to this point that I think is really important, I think it builds on it, is the fastest way to kill something special is to compare it to something else.
Oh, that is so true.
It is. It is. And so what I find, you know, when people come together, as they do, it's just a human thing. We compare ourselves. We compare somebody else where they are in their journey or whatever. And it really takes away the special, unique gift set of who you are, who you were designed and created to be. And you'll never fully experience that if you're so worried about comparing yourself to somebody else. There never will be another like you. And you were designed and created and put here specifically at this time and this purpose for you to fulfill something that God's called you to fulfill in your life and for the purpose of the kingdom. And the only way to truly get that is to stay focused on him.
Yeah.
And then move forward.
You know, that is the essence of what a marketplace minister is realizing,
yes,
that while they may have a call that might be different than what they imagined a marketplace or a minister would have, and in many cases, it is going to be completely different than what that picture is, but they must come to see, we all must come to see that God has a plan for us. Mm-hmm. And for what a difference that is. And that's something that I would love for us to talk more about in the next segment. And that is the attitude that we all need to have as people who are in business. There's a big difference, I believe, in networking and being a member of a community like the Chamber. I think there's a huge difference. And a lot of it has to do in motivation and the whole thing of attitude. So we're going to talk about that in a moment. I'm going to throw a question at her, and Crystal always has the answer. I found that to be true. You have an answer that is amazing. So we're going to be right back, my friends. This is Afternoons with Mike. My guest, Crystal Parker from the Central Florida Christian Chamber. Don't go away. I'll be right back. Back again with Crystal Parker here on The Shepherd. Crystal is the president of the Central Florida Christian Chamber, and it is a delight always to talk to this young lady. She is a whirlwind of energy, and the first time I saw Crystal was at the chamber, and you were the speaker that day, and it was clear that you had a love for business. I remember you making a statement that was one of your favorite things. You have a statement about that, a phrase. What was that phrase?
I do. I say business is my sport.
Yes.
And the reason I say that is because I think a lot of times people think that, you know, and it's like this with everything. If you want to be good at something, you got to work at it. You know, I don't know any pro basketball players or college or even high school players that don't go to practice and work on their game and work on their craft. And I think people can better understand it when you put it into sports context. But gosh, it goes the same for like marriage, and it goes the same for your business, and, you know, even just drawing closer and nearer to God. You got to put work in for these things. As I always love to say, business is my sport.
Mm-hmm. And you enjoy it. It's something that is, I think, simultaneously, obviously, important for a business person who is a business owner. You've got to love it enough to work it and to grow it. But then there's this thing about, like you say, a sport that is always the fun part of it. It is the relaxing part of it. I love basketball. Now, in my mind, I thought I was going to be taller. My mom and dad had told me that I was on that Gerber baby chart, you know, I was supposed to be 6'5" or 6'3". And then I'm not. So I grew up with a love of basketball. So there for a number of years in my life, that was not only something I did, it was great exercise. But it was fun. And I think that many times business owners lose because of the pressure, because of the economics, because of maybe downturns in things like COVID, when doors are suddenly shut and things have to be reinvented. It's easy, isn't it, to lose the fun, to lose the joy.
Yes, one of my favorite quotes I love to say, and I actually write about it in my book, is breathing is the life, like profits are to a business.
Mm.
See, breathing is essential for living, but it's not the purpose for living. Just like profits are essential for business, but it's not the purpose that the business exists.
Mm-hmm.
And to your point, economics, losing the fun, people lose sight of why they started in the first place and what got them there. And so really just thinking about, where is that love? Where's that passion? And sometimes as we evolve, so does our passion. And that's okay too. You know, I think one of my favorite stories is Microsoft. You know, when they came up with the concept of Microsoft, I mean, they just like Gates just held on to that, and almost to the point of detriment for the company, because they didn't evolve. They didn't change. Like, this is it. This is the one thing, no evolution, no change that's going to do. And they started to lose market share and eventually could have very well become extinct. And so I just love the concept of, you've got to evolve, you've got to follow your passion, you got to follow your love, and you've got to be nimble and willing to change.
Wow, that's
and
good.
People have a hard time with change.
Now, you know, a number of years ago, when the whole phrase networking or the concept of networking came out, I know that it was so exhilarating to a lot of business people, because they realized that they could go to an event, and it might be a conference, it might be a convention, it might be a meeting that would be like what you guys do on Fellowship Friday or one of the relationship building meetings that you guys have. But they would go to this thing, and the reason that they would go is to network. And so after a while, I would begin to hear people kind of speak down on networking, because what they were equating it all to is like this: you're going there to get, you're going there to make contacts. But it was almost like from a selfish perspective, or maybe a single-sided perspective, as opposed to going there to be a part or going there to give, which would, now that the latter phrase would be obviously much more in line with, it's more blessed to give than to receive. So we have that Bible verse that's going on in the back of our mind there. But there is a truth to the fact that networking can be, if that's your only word, it can be kind of single-sided, whereas if you take the word community and marketplace ministry, that becomes much more of a together thing. And so the attitude, again, of the mindset of when we go to these meetings, what are we going for? How does that play in? How would you answer that?
Yeah, sure. I think that's a great summary of it. I've heard it said before that your network is your net worth. And I think that's great. You know, when you think about who's in your Rolodex, who, not only who do you know, but who knows you, is what I like to say. And it's important. But networking is not a bad word. It's not a bad thing.
Oh, no.
However, people do business with people they know, they like, and they trust. People give referrals to people they know, they like, and they trust.
Mm-hmm.
And what ends up happening, if your sole purpose is to get, when you go to a meeting, get, it's about me, then it's very hard for people to break through the barrier of knowing you, liking you, and trusting you. And so therefore, they aren't going to throw business your way. So showing up to a meeting, and what I call it is relationship marketing. And there's great power in relationship marketing. It's great returns on that. A lot of business is done through relationship marketing. And that really is the focus on relationships and building relationships. Because people can't do business with you if they don't know what you do. And so to be able to learn what you do, they've got to get to know you. And they want to know the human. It's really interesting, Mike, right now, the trends that you're seeing in company branding. This is really an interesting facet. But company branding is now no longer the company logo, the mission statement, and that. They're really working to brand the leaders of organizations, the humans that are running the company. And so it's because people, once they get to know them, know their stories, know about them, know their business acumen, their, you know, what they provide and who they are, they're buying the person who's running the organization. And so I think that's kind of the point that you're saying, is it's more than just an exchange of business cards. That's not going to get it done. An exchange of business cards is just going to go in somebody's file cabinet and probably won't even be followed up with.
Mm-hmm.
But really taking that time to know somebody and to serve them. How can I help you? How can I serve you? What can I sow into your life? That is how you build long-lasting relationships, and relationships equal business.
You know, I'm just so thankful for the people that I've met in the chamber, and the Shepherd Friends are a part of the Christian Chamber. We love partnering with Crystal and this incredible organization. But, you know, when you think about the people, you talk about marketing and branding the people. It's not certainly lost on me that I have so benefited both with a radio station and are getting exposed to the people that are behind this, and that you bring in people like David Prosper, who I just recently had on my show. And he was, I guess, at one of your events about, what, 6 months ago or something like that? Was that about right?
That's correct. And David Prosper is also a board member for the Christian Chamber of Commerce as well.
Yes.
And a great friend. He's going to be back in Orlando for our U.S. Christian Business Expo that we're having October 26th, 27th, and 28th. It's a 3-day business expo event. Of course, as we get closer, Mike, hopefully you'll have me back and I can
Absolutely.
Break down the 12 speakers. But yeah, David Prosper is a fantastic leader, human, that is a great friend of the Christian Chamber.
I posted his TED Talk on our Shepherd Facebook page recently. So if you haven't seen that, friends, you need to go back and watch his TED Talk and realize just the call of God on his life and how he's using what you talked about, this being a thought leader. I mean, here's a guy who is doing something and in spite of the pandemic has grown a business, has grown internationally all over the place. This guy is everywhere and he's doing it. And it's just so exciting. And I think that kind of being around that kind of people is what's going to give us that attitude that we need to have, that we can have, that God has opened up for us. I'm going to go back to that phrase. We've only got a couple of minutes left here, Crystal. Give us that phrase one more time about stop thinking about what you want. That is okay. So helpful.
Okay. Forget about what you want. Focus on what you have and allow God to provide you with what you need.
That last thing demands that we have trust in the Lord, doesn't it?
Yes, it absolutely does. You know, it really is about attitude. You said that, you know, we'll talk a little bit about attitude. It's about attitude. You know, what you see is what you get. So if you focus on what you don't have, you're going to have a lot of nothing.
That's right.
If you focus on God, he's going to provide you. I love to say it this way. And as I sat with my pen one day, God just wrote these words on the paper. And I looked at him and go, wow, thanks God. That was like, he used my hand, but it was his word. And what I believe that he impressed upon me to share with people is, if you focus on problems, then you're going to have problems. So how people see problems will be their ability to experience innovation, change something new. But how people see God will be their ability to experience supernatural innovation. So a perfect example, biblical example, we see it in the Bible, is the feeding of the 5,000, which we know is 5,000 plus. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they had 12 doggy bags left over for each of the disciples, but they only had some bread and fish. And it was like little bread and little fish, right? And they fed thousands of people. They could have focused on, we don't have the food. And some, you know, a couple of them in the story did. They said, we don't have this, we don't have this, and we don't have the wages. We're never going to do this. Well, if that's all you're focusing on, that's all you're going to get.
Right.
But if you choose to see it different and you choose to put God at the center of it and focus on him and let him provide, not only do you have enough to feed everybody, you have extra and excess, overflowing amount. So there's an obedience piece there too.
Right.
Right. And so I just really believe that in times where there's challenges and things like that, or maybe just even a business problem or a personnel issue that you're experiencing in your business, you got to stay focused on what you have, the tools and things that are in front of you, what you know as the truth, and then really allow God to come into that and invite him in. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Invite him in. So back to the story of the feeding of the 5,000, he prayed God, Jesus. He prayed over the bread, sent it out. He prayed over the fish, sent it out. That was a piece in the story I missed initially, but he prayed and asked for each one of those things individually.
Yes.
So I would just say, you know, oh, Lord, bless my business. Like we say that all the time, but be specific.
Right.
Ask specifically and then stay focused on the answer. He'll bring it to you.
What a joy this has been. Give us your web address real quick.
You bet. Come check us out. We're at CF, and that really stands for Central Florida. So we're at CFChristianChamber.com. Everything you need right there on our website.
Crystal Parker, thank you for being with me today on Afternoons with Mike. And friends, we'll see you next time here on The Shepherd.